I want to thank Brian for that lengthy reading in Exodus, the 16th chapter. I want you to recall that story to mind now, how the nation of Israel was there leaving Egypt and found themselves in the wilderness without food and without water. The nation of Israel had a choice at that moment. They could complain about their situation, or they could pray about it. They could have gone to God with an attitude of supplication. Instead, they chose to come to God with a complaint. We all have needs sometimes, physical needs, food and water, emotional needs, spiritual needs. God is sensitive to all our needs. He knows what we need. God was not going to abandon these people of his in the wilderness. He is not going to abandon us. Exodus, the 19th chapter, starting at verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. The nation of Israel was like a bride to the Lord. Husbands and wives, we can think about this. The Apostle Paul makes the same analogy with the church. He says in Ephesians, the 25th chapter, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. In that same context, he says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. The nation of Israel at this time needed to submit to the Lord. If we ask in patience and in faith, God promises to give us what we need. It seems like sometimes he puts us in a difficult situation to test us. That's what he was doing with these people. Put people lost and in a wilderness, take away their food and their water, and you're going to find what their character is. Whether they complain or whether they reach out in supplication to God. Imagine an ungrateful wife complaining to her husband. I don't mean to pick on any wives here. This works in both directions, husbands. But imagine if a wife said to her husband, who was loving, caring, devoted, doing everything a husband was supposed to do, and the wife said to him, you never do anything for me. She's complaining because she wants him to do something. And instead of just humbly, submissively asking if he would please do that, she's making demands. She's making accusations and putting him to the test, saying these kind of things. We can see how this would put a lot of strain and stress in a marriage relationship. This is what the children of Israel were doing to the Lord, putting him to the test like this, making demands of him. Do we sometimes challenge God like this, making demands of him? In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus gives us this instruction. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? What the Lord did there in the wilderness was a test. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, continuing, it says there, beginning in verse 2, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his command or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to be hungry, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Man is truly only tested when he faces adversity. This is what Satan challenged God about with Job. "Put him to the test, then you'll see what your servant is really made out of." I have to say, the point was fair. God took him up on that challenge. And the character of Job was demonstrated. Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 3, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." When we are humbled by trials, don't complain. Submit to God. Pray to him. James writes this, but he gives more grace. This is James, the 4th chapter, verse 6 beginning. "Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." The manna in the wilderness was for instruction. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, continuing, at verse 11, it reads, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you have built beautiful houses to dwell in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day and it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God to follow other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish." We need to learn, like the children of Israel needed to learn, to rely on God and not ourselves. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead." The manna that God provided each day was sufficient for that day. And we need to remember that the things that God gives us are sufficient for today, and not worry about tomorrow. The children of Israel were evidently worried about tomorrow because they were told, you're going to get enough for today, but they worried about what about tomorrow? We better stock up. And we see what happens. I think this is why the Lord teaches us in his model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. In that same context, Jesus continues, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, and so is sufficient for the day the grace of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I want to talk to you about spiritual manna now. The food and the water, of course, the physical needs, we need them. God provides them. But more importantly is the spirit. If we only hope in this life, the physical things, then we're of all men most miserable. When Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he quotes Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I've never before noticed that when Jesus quotes, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is stated in the context of manna. In John, the 6th chapter, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how could this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and eats and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father who also feeds on me, and I will live because of him. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said, does this offend you? What if then you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit. They are life. Jesus is trying to get them to see things spiritually. And when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, it was just like Jesus was pouring it on. To the point that if they were thinking carnally, they were going to completely reject it. This is nonsense. Jesus trying to get them to think spiritually about these things. To the church at Pergamos, the Lord writes this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him Who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. The hidden manna. What is the hidden manna? I think we've seen enough in Scripture about the bread of life and the manna to know what the Lord is talking about to this church. Jesus spoke to them in parables so that he would reveal the truth to those who were spiritually minded. But to those who were carnally minded, it was hidden. In Matthew 11th chapter, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Matthew 13. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. This hidden manna, the truth of God's word, is hiding in plain sight. Those who want to see it, see it. It's obvious. The word of God. We were talking about how the word of God is free in our songs, freely given. Now, if I go to the store, I can buy a Bible. But I tell you what, if you want a Bible, you can get one for free. If you can't afford a Bible, let one of the brethren here know, and we will get you one. The word of God is free. If you've got a smartphone, it's a free app. Download it. The Apostle Paul writes, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age know, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Continuing a few verses later, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need to ask ourselves tonight, are we thinking carnally? Or are we thinking spiritually? When we draw near to God, is it because we're hungry or we're thirsty, we want something from him? Do we complain to God about these things? Or do we see a spiritual need in us? The need to be forgiven. Without forgiveness, we're without hope in the world. I do not believe that this world is the habitation that God meant for us. He meant for us to live in heaven with Him for an eternity. And He redeemed us at a great ransom price that we might be with Him. And He's asking us to submit to His will. Pick up that manna that's laying on the morning ground and eat it. Let that spiritual food motivate you to obey. Not to rebel, not to complain. But let that food create faith in you. Trust the Lord, not yourself. Turn away from the sin in your life and repent. Confess His name as Lord. If you would be willing to submit yourself to the burial of baptism this night, God promises to wash away your sins, and then you have hope of heaven when this life is past. If you faltered along the way, along the wilderness path, you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord this night. We'd be happy to pray for you on your behalf. If you have a spiritual need at this time, please step to the front as we stand and sing together now.